We've been preaching through the Psalms on Wednesday nights, trying to. And we're about on our year anniversary. We just really didn't even finish it. We just kind of cut her off Wednesday night in Psalm 23. And I'm jumping a little ahead in this. These here's some thoughts the Lord had given me some time ago out of Psalm 51. And I've been itching to preach them here at Calvary for some time. And felt like the Lord nudged my heart a few weeks ago about dealing with this issue here out of Psalm 51. And so this would be kind of a part of that. We're trying to preach through just verse by verse or psalm by psalm. And I want to do so, but I want to take our time here in Psalm 51. This would be, if Psalm 23 is one of the greatest psalms, and Psalm 51 is of the most important psalms we have. And this psalm will help your Christian life, I believe, more than anything in staying right, getting right, and staying right with God. I want you to stand with me, and I'm not going to preach all this tonight. I think I know where I want to get, and it shouldn't take us long. Now, amen, I won't preach all 19 verses. I don't know that we'll get to any of the verses, but we just want to read down through this psalm and see if the Lord will help us tonight. Do you want help this evening? Amen. I believe the Lord will give it to us tonight. And we hear a lot about revival. And we'll have preachers come through, your pastor preach about having revival. But we ain't going to have revival till we get right with the Lord. And Psalm 51 is just that. It's David's psalm, David's prayer psalm, where David gets right with God. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Bible said in verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness at my that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. I want to preach tonight from this psalm on this subject, what it takes to get right with God. What it takes to get right with God. Pray with me tonight, and if the Lord will take what little we want to give to our hearts tonight and use it this evening. Father, we love you this evening. I want to thank you tonight for the goodness of God. I want to thank you this evening, Lord, that Lord, you are aware of our needs. And Lord, we're thankful tonight that, Lord, you know, Lord, all about us this evening. You know where we're wrong, and you know where we're right. And Father, you know all our failures and all our faults and all our sin. Father, tonight I'm aware that the generation that we preach to tonight, Lord, is strayed far from God. And Lord, I pray this evening, And Lord, in all things, Lord, where we're not right, may we seek to get right. And Father, Lord, may we have a determination and a desire in our heart stirred within us tonight, Lord, to stay right. Lord, as you've called us, Lord, to live holy and godly in these days, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now tonight in the next few moments. Help us, Lord, to glean something tonight that would stir us up. And Lord, we'll bless you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. As we come to this psalm, we got to set the context of it. And it'll be about as far as we get tonight. We understand, according to the heading of this psalm, and the Bible said, the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. And so we understand tonight this psalm is centered in upon that time when David had failed of the Lord, had committed adultery and even murder, had Uriah murdered, and how that David has been in deep sin now for many months, and some have supposed maybe even a year and a half, that David has lived in sin, and David has hid his sin. We understand that. And what David did was outside of the will of God. David made decisions, and David made choices that he never consulted God about. He never prayed about that, my friend, in that moment in time of David's life. And David found himself there in 2 Samuel 11, walking in his flesh and fulfilling the desires thereof. And David, my friend, made some tragic failures. And David, my friend, made some decisions to sin that David would never get over. You say, but preacher, Psalm 51, he gets right with God. And later in his life, he ended in joy and he ended in glory. Amen. That may have been so, but in the dark crevices of David's heart, David had to live with all the days of his life that decision that he made when he said, my friend, when he said, I'm going to stay out of the battle. I'm not going to fulfill my duty. I'm not going to do what I've been called to do. I'm going to stay home. And David walked up on the rooftop and began to lust after this one, Bathsheba. And God even put some people in his life that said, David, is not this the life of your lad, the Hittite? And David said, I don't care who she is. I don't care who I'm going to hurt. What would I want? And David lived in his flesh. And David sinned against himself, against his family, against his responsibility, and against his God. And David, my friend, wound up in some great trouble. We understand that. And David's sin was no light thing. It was not a small thing. It was not a tender thing that David decided to do. In fact, the decision that he made, my friend, not only affected David, but it affected his family. David's family never got over that decision that David made. My friend, to satisfy his flesh. My friend, the name David. If you can ask him, David wasn't worth it. He'd say a million times over, it ain't worth it. I wish I'd have never stayed home. I wish I'd have never walked in my flesh. I wish I'd have never given in to lust. I wish I'd have never put myself in an enticing situation. And yet David did it, and it affected his family. Amen. The sword never departed out of the house of Saul, and it never, my friend, departed out of David's family after that David had sinned. We understand that. And David's sin affected his friends and those that loved him and cared about him. It not only affected his family, my friend, everybody that was invested in him, everybody, my friend, that had an interest in David's life, was affected when David chose to sin. Are you listening to that? Amen. Our lives are not lived unto ourselves. Our lives, my friend, are not lived on an island. And the decisions we make don't that just affect you in that, but they affect those that are invested in our well-being. What about Joab? David's sin eventually affected Joab, and he dragged Joab into what he'd done in sinning against God. All those servants he called for Bathsheba have been affected by that which David has done. We can say to that that David's sin affected his fellowship with God. Amen. I believe that when David did what he did, according to even this psalm that we've read tonight, and David never really could in those days enjoy God like that he used to enjoy it. David can remember the times when he's on the backside of a wilderness tending the sheep, and God has come down and met with him, and joy has filled his heart. Amen. In fact, he wrote it. Amen. Many believe Psalm 23 that we preached on Wednesday night. That David wrote that as a young boy. And he wrote about that friend, all that God did for him down in the valley, anointing his head with oil and causing his cap to run over. But now David's sin, David's an old man, and all he has are memories to think back on about what God has done for him in the past. Brother Dean, he can't enjoy that sweet fellowship that he used to have with God. And I remind you tonight, your sin again is no light thing. It'll rob you of fellowship. John the Beloved said that, and if we walk in darkness, we have no fellowship with him, and we have no fellowship with one another. Our sin ultimately affects our fellowship. You say, well, nobody's going to know what I do. My friend, our sin is a great thing. It's going to affect every area of our life. Amen. Listen, they're from tonight, and they can't enjoy church like they used to. Amen. I hope not here, but maybe even here tonight, that you can't enjoy what you used to enjoy, because sin has eat you up. Amen. It's eat your spirit out of you. Your joy is gone. Amen. Your bones, spiritual bones have been broken. You can't hear gladness. That's where David's at. His sin has affected every area of his life. My friend, you are crazy tonight if you think that you can sin and get by with it. You, my friend, and that are foolish to think that sin's a late thing, and we live in a generation that's our mentality. Brother Mark, our mentality is, hey man, I can jump in sin and jump out of sin, and then, my friend, it ain't no real big thing. Hey man, I've talked with folk on the other side of the desk that acting like, my friend, they can run back to God, hey man, and use the grace of God as a delete button to erase everything thing they've done, and thank God tonight for forgiveness. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. What a blessing for tonight. Amen. To think on that, my friend, if you're ever going to recover from sin and from wrongdoing, amen, it won't be cutting up and laughing and ignoring God and ignoring the results of your sin. Amen. You must get right with God in a right way. Amen. David, my friend, he's tried to run from it. He's tried to skirt around the issue. He's tried, my friend, to look away. He's tried, Brother A.L., to do everything that he can do except for deal with his sin and deal with his God. Can I say tonight, amen, I'm thankful that eventually, amen, David came to himself. Amen. In Psalm 51, David's quit all of his running. David's quit acting like it ain't been a big deal. Now Dave, God has got David attention, and now David, in the way that David should have done, amen, when he first failed, finds himself getting thoroughly right with God. Amen. Can I say again tonight, amen, our generation thinks, amen, we can just walk down the aisle and say a little, I'm sorry, to God, and act like, well, it's all under the blood, and everybody's got to leave me alone, and don't deal with me about this, amen. Can amen, Saint amen, amen. David got beyond the little walk down the aisle there. Amen. Now David's in a place, amen, where nobody else is around there. And he's got to look up in the face of a sovereign God there. Oh, that has loved David and gave David every desire of his heart. Amen. Blessed him beyond measure. And now David has said, and his soul began thoroughly right with God. Say, well, so-and-so, I've seen them do this, and their life's all right. I'm telling you, it ain't that easy. Amen. I've seen folk who got caught up in sin. I'm thinking right now of a woman. She's 67 years old and got caught up in fornication and adultery and immoral living, 67 years old. You hearing me? 67 years old. Amen. And the preacher found out about it. And we had to deal with it. And she got real defensive. And it wasn't anybody saying anything about what she was doing. Amen. It wasn't as bad as teenagers in her mind. Amen. She's 67 and nobody's going to tell her what she can do. Amen. And we began to deal with her and had to have church discipline on her. Amen. To the point where she finally came back. Amen. In an old arrogant attitude and made a show of it. And walked down the aisle and said, I just want to apologize. And said, amen, but don't you criticize me, and began to rebuke the congregation. And friend, that ain't getting right with God. Getting right with God ain't telling everybody else to quit judging you for what you've done. Amen. Getting right with God is coming to God and saying, I don't care what anybody says. Amen. I'm as wicked as anybody. I know what I am. Amen. And understanding you're throwing yourself down at the feet of God, begging Him. And by the way, we'll end on this in a moment. Amen. If you're ever going to get right with God, amen, it's God that's got to make you right. Amen. It's God that's got to do the cleansing. It's God that's got to do the consecrating work. Amen, but my friend, you've got to come unto the end of yourself where you realize it's just me and God. Yeah, ma'am. What does it take to get right with God? Well, I'm just going to throw the introduction out here tonight and I'll be done. Amen. Number one, notice what God did. Help David get right with God. David getting right with God had something to do with the man of God. The Bible said, if you got a good study Bible, amen, look there in the heading of that psalm, if you will, in Psalm 51, Samuel. Amen. Samuel here doesn't. Yeah, he does. There it is. Bible said the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that God knew what David did when David done it. Amen. God looked down and seen David when David said, I ain't going to the battle. And the Holy Ghost came down and said, David, you know that ain't right. Amen. You're going to get in trouble, not for fulfilling your responsibility. And God looked on and seen David, a mad friend walking up them stairs, going the rooftop to look down there. And God said, amen, the Holy Ghost said to David, David, you ought to stop right now. You know what's up on that rooftop. Amen. You know where you're headed, big boy. Yeah. And that ain't right. And David, a mad friend, stopped his ears to the Holy Ghost. And my friend, God saw. As David called for Bathsheba, and my friend brought her in his band, and God watched all that. Amen. God trying to stop him every step of the way. Amen. And it looked like David had covered his tracks. Amen. Had Uriah killed. Amen. I mean, it looks like that my friend David's going to get back. Amen. But one day, after a long time, amen, God revealed that to Nathan the prophet. And sent him down to David's house. And you know the story, the parable he gave of the wayfaring man. And I mean, he didn't come in making him feel good. He didn't come my friend tickling his ears. He didn't say something like, well, David, I think you messed up. But it's all right, you're the king. And we all got fleshly problems. Oh no, old Nathan reared back. Amen. When David and all hypocrites hypocritical, a vengeful spirit. Amen. Said he's going to pay for what he done. And that old man of God pointed his finger, amen, in the king's face and said, "Thou art the man." My friend, you say, how did David get ranked? Amen, David got rankles as a man of God. It wasn't afraid to preach on David's sin. He wasn't afraid to expose him. He wasn't afraid to get up and call it by its name. Amen, can I just say for a minute tonight, amen, thank God for some men of God. Amen, that ain't bowed tail. Amen, putting their head in the sand. But still are interested. Amen. In God's children getting right with God. Amen. We got preachers in the pulpit in our day, and I know I talk about them limp-wristed noodle-back feathers today, but can I say, amen, it's true. We got men that are banked up. They won't preach on sin and won't call sin the name. Amen, can I say adultery still adultery, and it's wicked. And if you do that, amen, according to the Bible, you have no understanding. Amen, can I say it's still wrong to have a bad attitude and a Pharisee spirit. Amen. That's bread. Are you listening? Of these six things that the Lord hates, a seven are an abomination unto him. Amen. The first is a proud look and a land tug and hands that shed innocent blood and feet that be swift and running to mischief. Amen. A false witness and speaketh lies. And my friend, so on and so on. And he that soweth discord against the brethren. You know what we need? We need some men of God and to get up and cry aloud against the sins of our day. Amen. You say, ain't nobody going to get on my sin yet, and you ain't ever going to get right with God. Your family's in a mess, falling apart, being busted up. Amen. It ain't nothing more than sin. Amen. It ain't nothing more than ugly old pride and rebellion against the Word of God. Amen. Your wife, sir, ain't your problem. And ma'am, your husband ain't your problem. Amen. Sin's your problem. And if you'd get right with God, you'd be amazed how well your life could run. Amen. And old Nathan, I like old Nathan. We don't know a whole lot about him in the Word of God. And amen, evidently he had some guts. He put it all on the line that day when he walked in and said, "David, thou art the man." Amen. I mean, he's talking to somebody who can make him have a real bad day that day. Yet old Nathan rolled up his sleeves and went in there, amen, with a broken heart for that man that had fallen and needed to get right with God. Amen. Israel needed their psalmist back. Israel needed their king back. Amen. David's family needed their husband and daddy back. Amen. And thank God, God said, if he's ever going to get right with God, if he's ever going to quit running, amen, I'll have to put a man of God in his life that'll tell him what's right. Old Nathan not only preached against his sin, he told him what his sin was going to do to him. Amen. We live in a generation of weak Christians. It's kind of like what Paul said, and I believe we're there, that in the last days men would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want to be intellectualized. They want to feel smart. They want to feel good. They don't want a man of God getting up and crying aloud and hacking and stomping and crying and spitting and slobbering and sweating all over their sin. Can I say tonight, you'll never be right with God without a man of God in your life that'll cry aloud against, amen, where you're headed and where you're going and what you're doing to your family. And y'all know me tonight. I'm not out to be the meanest preacher in town. I ain't out to be the most controversial preacher in America. Amen. I want to love folk. I want folk to be encouraged and have hope. Amen. And grow in the faith. Amen. But can I say every now and then, amen, a man of God needs to get a set of leather lungs. Amen, an old pine pole for a backbone, and get up and say, "You must get right with God." Amen. Yeah, man. I mean, a man of God that'll look at you and say what you're doing and what you're wearing and where you're going, the life you're living, the attitudes you have, is keeping you from being right with God.
Amen. Y'all might as well say, man, I feel like preaching now. Amen. He put a man of God in his leg. Thank God for a Nathan that, amen, would get in his business. Amen. We got an attitude in our day. How I live's my business. What I wear's my business. How I live my life is my business. But sir, what you don't understand is your business is your family's business. And your business, amen, if you're a member of this church, amen, is our business. Amen. Thank God that a man of God that would get in David's business. David's downfall became the subject of Nathan's message that day. Amen. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying you're never going to be right with God. You're never going to get right with God till you humble yourself. Oh, David didn't bow up and get mad and run the preacher out of town. Amen. You might as well say, man, he didn't my friend buck him and blow up and get mad and pout and lay out of church for 3 weeks. Amen. When Nathan, I'm feeling like preaching, but Dave, when old Nathan got on him, old David said, I know I'm the man there. I've been hiding this. I've been running from getting right. Amen. Everybody else thinks everything's okay, but on the inside, I'm dead. I am the man. Thank God for some people that'll let the man of God be the man of God in their life. Amen. Yeah, man, you fall in sin, I promise you tonight. Amen. We believe in the priesthood of the believer. I'm not preaching Catholic doctrine tonight. Amen. But every time I've stepped outside the will of God, every time I've been living in my flesh, every time, are you listening to me? Every time I've done that, somewhere along the way, God will raise a man of God up. Amen. That you'd have thought knew it, and he'd been walking with me and knowing my heart. Amen. How did he know that? Amen. God put him in my way and in my life to remind me that I cannot live my life my own way. A man of God, ain't you thankful tonight? Amen. All these years of Calvary's history, he's been a man of God crying out. Now you may not have liked it, and you may have had to pooch your lip, amen, every now and then. There may have been days you had to say, oh my, more than you could say amen. Thank God for somebody, amen, who can get up and, I mean, pound the pulpit and pour his heart into you, amen, and remind you there's still a way. It's right. The Word of God is still right, and sin is still ugly, and that there are certain ways you got to get right with God. All that time, David, I think maybe David was trying to be right with God on his own, but it wasn't until he humbled himself to a man of God that he finally got the place, he finally knew how to approach God and get it thoroughly right. You ain't going to get right with no preacher involved in your life. Y'all might as well say amen now. And I don't even like preaching like this tonight. Amen. I don't want to be misunderstood, mistaken, Brother Jordan, but I'm telling you, every time when I've been wrong, God's had a man of God he'd raise up and say, here's what you need to hear today. Amen. Amen. I worry about folk falling in sin, and I know David's sin's deep and dark and covered up, and hopefully, my friend tonight, amen, we're not that far and that bad into sin tonight. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, I've seen folk be as bad as David is in sin and adultery and lustful living, that they would admit what they done, but they wouldn't let a man of God get involved in their life to show them biblical principles to thoroughly get right with God. Now I'm telling you, David had to have a man of God. There's a reason. There's a reason, my friend, God preserved in our King James Bible to let us know that David prayed this psalm and called on God in this way after that man of God, Nathan, went down to his house. Yeah, man, I'm wanting to move on, but I'm having a hard time, Brother Dean. Yes, sir. Yeah, man, I thank God tonight. You ever think about where you'd be had you not had men of God in your life? Amen. Am I the only one that made? Amen. Amen. There's times you know something just ain't right. Amen. Maybe it's not adultery, but it's on bad attitude. Amen. Maybe it's lustful faults or amen, prideful faults. Amen. You is beginning to slip. And then God sends some preacher who didn't even know your name. Amen. In through the pulpit. Amen. To preach on exactly what your problem was. You think about where you'd be tonight had that not happened. You think about all them times, amen, God brought up Preacher Wells and Preacher Rage and Brother Ballou, amen, and Brother Pace, amen, and other men of God by this way and had a message just for your life. Think about where you'd be tonight. Think about how busted up your family would be. Amen, I tell you tonight, I hate sin. I hate what it does to me. Amen. But I hate what it's doing to families in our day. Amen. Let God help us tonight. Amen. Nearly 7 out of 10 now homes and marriages are in and in divorce. And I know we've got to reach folk today. Amen. I'm not preaching against divorced people. What I am saying tonight, it's a result of sin. Amen. It's a result of my friend of wicked thoughts and rebellion and praying. Amen. If your family's going to stay together, amen, you need a man of God to get in your business. Say you need to straighten up. Amen. When you ain't loving your wife how you ought to, ain't it amazing? God will lay it on the preacher's heart to preach something about husbands, love your wives. You know what that is? That's God putting a man of God in your life to keep you right with the Lord. Amen. When you wives go, amen, bucking and nagging your husband, God will lay it on the preacher's heart and say something about, amen, being submitted to your own husband as unto the Lord. You know what God just did? God gave you a man of God in your life to help you get right. Amen. We live in a generation. I said we was going to be quick, but I'm feeling real burdened right here. We live in a generation that says, Brother A.L., that we need less preaching. We need less preaching and don't emphasize preaching. And what kind of ministries are we going to offer? And I say we don't need less preaching. We need more preaching. Amen. We don't need less emphasis on it. We need more emphasis on it. Amen. Preaching's what brought conviction to my heart. Amen. Conviction was sowing the seed. It brought conversion to my life. Amen. Preaching's what's kept me and Miss Katie from killing each other and going through divorce court. Amen. Thank God for the ministry of preaching. Preaching. Amen. Preaching. A man of God that would preach the Word of God does. I can remember when shortly after we got married, we moved 3.5 hours down the road in Bible college trying to do the best we can. For the first time in my life, I had to find a church and a pastor that would be something more than the church my daddy pastored. And God led us to the old church, and I would never, probably at this stage in my life, could never be a part of a church like that. But in that time of my life, God knew what I needed. And God put a man of God, a real man of God. He wouldn't slobber and sweat and stomp and scream and hack, amen, like we do down here in the mountains. Amen, he's just a slow and steady man of God, expound the Word of God. God put that man of God in my life. Amen. There'd be days, I'd be the sorriest, slow down young husband ever was. And he'd pull me to the side and he'd jump my case and tell me, amen, how dirty and rotten and low down I was, how I need to shape up and take better care of my wife. Amen. You said you get mad, got mad a lot. But I never did let him know it. Amen. He never had to come find me on Sunday and find out if I was mad laying out of church because I was mad. I'd let the Holy Ghost take what he told me and work in my life. Make me the husband I ought to be. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's days I just didn't have it all together and had more zeal than knowledge. And God put a man of God in my life in them early days, just after I'd been saved and getting started preaching, put a man of God in my life that when I started to veer off, amen, God raised him up in my life to help me get right and stay right with God. Amen. I promise you, you ain't much tonight. You wouldn't be near what you are tonight were it not for God raising up a man of God in your life somewhere to help you stay right and get right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number two, how we doing there, Lucas? 8:20. Lord, we got to go. Can I give y'all one more? I won't even preach it. Did you catch the first line of verse number one? Have mercy. You know how you get right with God? Number one, it's got something to do with the man of God. But number two, it's got something to do with the mercy of God. Old David's been running a long time. I mean, he's hit rock bottom. Amen. He's just wishing he could go back to how it used to be. No devil, I imagine, done to David what he does to us and said, you'll never enjoy God again. You made a mess out of your life. It's too far gone. You made too big of a failure. Amen. I imagine his own flesh and what David knew about God. Amen. David was waiting just any time up for the hammer to fall on his life. And by the way, it's going to. And David knows it's going to. Amen. But now David's at the end of it all. And he's saying, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of covering it up. I'm tired of acting like it ain't a big deal. Amen. And how's he going to get right with God? It ain't going to be on the merit set of who David is. David's already proved it. And you can have a heart after God and still fall to sin. He comes to God and said, have mercy. Have mercy. And I say tonight, that's the only hope you and I have of ever getting right with God. Amen. Thank God for them men of God that are getting our face and getting our business and getting our lives. Amen. And tell us where we're wrong. But you know how ultimately you're going to be restored. Amen. It's going to be by the mercy of God. Amen. It's going to be God there. Amen. Stepping in and hearing your prayer. It's going to be God coming down with the blood of his darling son and cleansing you from the sin and the mess you've made of your life. The mercy of God. Say, preacher, you just don't know. I'm not right. It's been a long time since I've been right with God and been able to enjoy anything spiritual. Can I let you in on a little secret tonight that really ain't a secret? Would you listen to the man of God tonight? The key to getting right with God is getting down on an altar and getting real about how bad it is and how wicked it is. And begging for the mercy of God. Amen. David can't cling to anything he's done. I mean, man, he's at the very bottom. He's the lowest of the low right now. But Jody, all he can say is, Lord, I want to be right. I don't know how to get right. I don't know what I got to say. I don't know what I got to do. And so, Lord, I'm just coming begging you for mercy. Say, preacher, you don't know how bad my situation is. I know this tonight. There's nothing the mercy of God can't fix. If you quit being so stubborn and hard-headed and blind and listen to the man of God and listen to the word of God, there's nothing the mercy of God wouldn't do for you on an old-time altar and getting thoroughly right with God. Acting like it ain't a problem don't mean it ain't a problem. Oh, I'm heavy in my heart. I'm telling you, this here's some old thoughts and old things God shared with me, but it's coming back fresh and new on my heart. But dang, my generation's so far from God. We're so far from God. I mean, sitting in churches like this, I know, listen, we can justify ourselves tonight. So I ain't committed adultery, I ain't done fornication, I ain't done this, and I ain't done, but I'm telling you, just overall, we're so far from God. My friend, the answer is God will raise up a man of God. When he sits one down, he'll bring another and along. Amen. Some of y'all thought, boy, it's going to be easier now. Preacher Wells is gone. I don't know about easier or harder. I ain't trying to be anything but what God sent me here to be. And amen, I can promise you we'll pull the roots up in your life. We'll get in your tater patch. Amen, we'll pull your taters up, root them up. Amen, we'll have mashed taters before we leave this place tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, amen, God will sit one down and God will raise another one up because He loves His children. And He wants us to be right with God. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. And at the end of the day, thank God there's mercy available. Number three, and it's really what Psalm 51 is all about. David got right because of manifestations to God. There's certain things David expresses that reveal the spirit of repentance in his life. I'm telling you tonight, you can have a man of God and the mercy of God be available, but until you repent of your sin and forsake it and flee from it and run from it and avoid anything that's the appearance of evil, you cannot get right with God. Amen. That's right. You gotta repent and forsake. And David expresses some things to God we'll get into in the coming weeks. Amen. I don't know how long it'll take us, Brother Dean. It'll probably take a little while. But David got the place. He finally said, "That's it, Lord. I throw my hands up. I acknowledge," it's what he said, "I acknowledge my transgression. I'm done arguing with you, Lord. I'm done justifying it. I'm done trying to make excuses for it. Lord, it is what you said it is. It is what I know it is in my heart." And David exercised a spirit of repentance in Psalm 51, manifested it to God, and God said, "Now you can be right with me." I got news for you. There is hope beyond failure. You can be right with God, but you don't get right with God on your terms and avoiding it. You get right with God the way David got right with God and expressed true repentance to the Lord. Father, help us tonight. Lord, I've tried to preach my heart and give these folk the things that you've laid on our heart. Father, I pray, Lord, I understand we're living in a day when people's far from God. Lord, the truth be told, Lord, if we could just see the wicked attitudes and spirits that are hidden in the crevices of our heart, Father, it'd be so dark and black and wicked tonight. Father, tonight we make no excuses for it. Teach us how to get right with you. Father, if we knew what went on, Lord, in secret this week, hearts and lives of those that are here, Lord, if we knew the thoughts that had come to people's mind that they dwelled on, Lord, we'd have to bow our head in shame, red-faced, Lord, at the great wickedness that's in such a great place tonight. So, Lord, we're not trying to cover it up tonight. Forgive us, Lord. Teach us how to get right with you. Lord, I feel especially heavy in my heart tonight. Lord, there's families here tonight that's in great trouble. Lord, I pray tonight that the husbands would take the first step, swallow their pride. Lord, get on this altar and deal with their actions and attitudes that have been grieving their family. Father, may there be some wives and mothers that would follow suit. Father, may, Lord, we show such an example that our children would get down, begin to repent even of their own sin. Father, help us tonight. Help us tonight to get right with you in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me tonight? Stand with me tonight. Here's what I want to ask you. Don't raise your hand. Just answer this in your heart. Sir, are you right with God? Are you right with God, sir? Ma'am, are you right with God? Is your life right with the Lord? So, preacher, I don't even know how to get right with God right now. Well, you can start by coming down here and talking to God and ask the Lord for some mercy tonight. Listen, I ain't preaching tonight. Make folk feel bad about maybe some past failure you've had. Be that far from us tonight. That ain't our goal. Make somebody have to live in the past. I'm going to tell you this tonight. you have failed, there ain't no way to get right with God other than the way God demands. Would you mind the Lord? They some on the altar tonight. That's it. That's it. Hey, what if the trouble that's in your family is a result of your life not being right? That's it. There's more coming tonight. Do you mind the Lord? Hey, ma'am, what if you got on the altar tonight and got right with God? What would that do for your family? Sir, what if you got down here tonight and got a hold of the mercy of God and began to get right? How would that unlock some things in your family? Oh, it's easy, pass the buck. It's easy to blame it on everybody else. It's easy to make excuses. Won't you come get on the altar tonight? Say, dear God, help me. Go home tonight with no joy. You don't have to go home tonight on the run. You don't have to go home tonight the same family. You get on this altar and let God do something in your heart, you go home tonight. You go home tonight totally different, totally changed, right with God. Father, in Jesus' name, help us tonight. Lord, we're going to leave here in a minute. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, just want to ask you one more time. Lord, long into the night after this preacher's been silenced, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would do a work. Father, we're coming into this year. We're rolling now. And Lord, we've got meetings planned. We've got different things planned in trying to reach our community. Lord, we know this year can only be successful as we're right with God. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight. Go home with us tonight. Speak to us in the night hours when nobody else is around. Father, may we find ourselves turning back to God in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate your attention tonight.